The prayer. The most important worship ritual of Islam is the prayer. A little deliberation shows that the essence of religion is comprehension of God, and with the emotions of fear and love, an expression of humility and servility before Him. The most prominent expression of this essence is worship. Invoking and glorifying Him, praising and thanking Him, and kneeling and prostrating before Him are the practical manifestations of worship. The prayer is nothing but an expression of these manifestations, and with graceful poise combines all of them. The prayer occupies extraordinary importance in religion. The status monotheism occupies in beliefs is exactly the same as what the prayer occupies in deeds. It has been made mandatory to ingrain the remembrance of God in a person. It is evident from the Quran that the prayer is the foremost consequence of the comprehension of Allah, which one gets after being reminded by His revelations, and as a result of this comprehension of the emotions of love and gratitude that appear for the Almighty or should appear in a person. It is the pillar of Islam and is among the requisites for a person to be called a Muslim, both in this world and in the hereafter. It is a means to remain steadfast on Islam, a vehicle for countering hardships and wipes out sins. It is the identity of true preaching, a means of perseverance on the truth, and the nature of every object of this universe and its real life. When the comprehension of God, His remembrance and memory, and the feeling of His nearness reach their pinnacle, it becomes the prayer. All the sages of the world are unanimous that real life is the life of the soul, and this life is nothing but the remembrance of God, His cognizance, and attaining His nearness. Only the prayer can furnish and afford such a life to man. History of the prayer. The history of the prayer is as old as religion itself. The concept of prayer is present in every religion, and its rituals and timings are also identifiable in these religions. The hymns sung by the Hindus, the chants of the Zoroastrians, the invocations of the Christians, and the psalms of the Jews are all its remnants. The Quran has informed us that all the prophets of God have directed their followers to offer it. It also occupies the most prominent position in the religion of the Prophet Abraham sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam revived in Arabia. When the Quran directed people to pray, it was nothing unknown to them. They were fully aware of its prerequisites and etiquette, rituals and utterances. Consequently, it was not required that the Quran mention its details. Just as it used to be offered as a practice of Abraham's religion, the Prophet ﷺ, at the behest of the Quran, promulgated it with certain changes among his followers, and after that they are offering it generation after generation in the same manner. Prerequisites of the prayer. Following are the prerequisites of the prayer. A. A person must not be in a state of inebriation. B. A woman should not be in the state of menstruation or puerperal discharge. C. A person must have done the ceremonial ablution, and in case of janaba or menstruation or puerperal discharge, must have taken the ceremonial bath. D. In case of being on a journey or being sick, or in case of non-availability of water, a person can offer the tayammum or the dry ablution if it becomes difficult for him to do the ceremonial ablution and the ceremonial bath. E. A person must face the Qibla. The method of doing wudu or ceremonial ablution is that first the face shall be washed and then hands up to the elbows shall be washed, and after that the whole of the head shall be wiped, and after that the feet shall be washed. Once wudu is done, it remains intact as long as something which terminates it is not encountered. Consequently, the directive of wudu is for the state in which it no longer remains intact, except if a person does wudu in spite of being in the state of wudu for the sake of freshness. Following are the things which terminate wudu. A. Urination. B. Defecation. C. Passing the wind, whether with sound or without it. And D. Pre-seminal discharge and pre-ovular discharge. If in the case of a journey, sickness, or unavailability of water, wudu and the ceremonial bath become difficult, the Almighty has allowed the believers to do tayammum, or dry ablution. It is done in the following way. Hands should be rubbed on a clean surface and wiped over the face and hands. It suffices for all types of impurities. It can thus be done both after things that terminate the wudu and after having sexual intercourse with the wife in place of the ceremonial bath. Moreover, in case of being on a journey or being sick, tayammum can be done even if water is available. Tayammum, no doubt, does not clean a person. However, a little deliberation shows that it serves as a reminder for the real means of achieving cleanliness and as such has special importance. The temperament of the Sharia is that if a directive cannot be followed in its original form or it becomes very difficult to follow it, then lesser forms should be adopted to serve as its reminder. One big benefit of this is that once circumstances return to normal, one becomes inclined to follow the directive in its original form. Practices of the prayer. Following are the practices of the prayer which are laid down in the Sharia. The prayer should begin with Raful Yadain, which means raising high both hands. Qiyam, or standing upright, should ensue. It should be followed by the Ruku, which means to kneel down, and then comma, which means standing up after the ruku, should then be done. Two consecutive prostrations should then follow. In the second and last rakat of each prayer, a person should do qada, which means to sit down with legs folded backwards. When a person intends to end the prayer, he can do so by turning his face. Utterances of the prayer. Following are the various utterances of the prayer. The prayer shall begin by saying Allahu Akbar, which means God is the greatest. Then Surah Fatiha shall be recited during the Qiyam, after which, according to one's convenience, a portion from the rest of the Quran shall be recited. While going into ruku, Allahu Akbar shall be pronounced. While rising from the ruku, Sami Allahu Liman Hamida, which means God heard him who expressed his gratitude to him, shall be uttered. While going for the prostrations and rising from them, Allahu Akbar shall be pronounced. While rising from the qada for the qiyam, Allahu Akbar shall once again be pronounced. At the end of the prayer, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, which means peace and blessings of God be on you, shall be said. Allahu Akbar, Sami Allahu liman hamida, and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah shall always be said loudly. In the first two rakats of the Maghrib and Isha prayers, and in both rakats of the Fajr, Friday and Eid prayers, the recital shall be loud. The recital shall always be silent in the third rakat of the Maghrib and in the third and fourth of the Isha prayer. In the Zohar and Asr prayers, the recital shall be silent in all the four rakats. These are the utterances prescribed by the Sharia for the prayer. They are in Arabic. And besides these, a person can express any utterance in his own language which states the sovereignty of the Almighty, expresses gratitude towards him, or is a supplication. Prayer timings. It is incumbent upon the Muslims to pray five times a day. The time of each prayer is as follows: Fajr, Zohr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. When the whiteness of the dawn emerges from the darkness of the night, then this is Fajr. When the sun starts to descend from midday, then this is Zuhr. When the sun descends below the line of sight, then this is Asr. The time of sunset is Maghrib. When the redness of dusk disappears, then this is Isha. The time of the Fajr prayer remains till sunrise. The time of the Zuhr remains till Asr begins. The time of Asr remains till Maghrib. The time of Maghrib remains till Isha, and the time of Isha remains till midnight. The times of sunrise and sunset are prohibited for praying since the sun used to be worshipped at these times. These timings have remained the same during the era of the other prophets as well. Rak'at of the prayer. The rak'at of the prayer which have been fixed by the Sharia are Fajr, 2, Zuhr, 4, Asr, 4, Maghrib, 3, Isha, 4. These are the obligatory rakats of each of these prayers, leaving which a person would be held accountable on the day of judgment. Thus, they must necessarily be offered except in cases when qasr has been permitted. All other rakats apart from them are optional. They earn great reward for a person, but will not hold him accountable on the day of judgment if he does not offer them. Concession in the prayer. If the time of the prayer arrives in dangerous, disturbing, or disorderly circumstances, the Almighty has allowed a person to pray while on foot or riding in whatever way possible. In these circumstances, it is evident that there shall be no congregational prayer. Facing the Qibla shall not be necessary, and in some situations, it shall not be possible to offer the practices of the prayer according to the prescribed method. If such a situation arises during a journey, the Quran has further said that people can shorten the prayer. In religious parlance, this is called qasr. The sunnah established by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard is that the 4-rakat prayer shall be shortened to 2. No reduction shall be made in 2 and 3 rakat prayers. Consequently, the Fajr and the Maghrib prayers will be offered in full in such circumstances. The reason is that while the former already has 2 rakat, the latter is considered as the witr of daytime, and this status of the Maghrib prayer cannot be changed. From this concession granted in the prayer, concession has also been deduced in the times it is offered. Consequently, in such journeys, the Zuhr and the Asr prayers can be combined, and the Maghrib and the Isha can also be combined and offered together. The congregational prayer. Although the prayer can be offered alone, it is desirable that it be offered in congregation and, if possible, in a place of worship. For this very purpose, the Prophet built a mosque as soon as he reached Medina, and with this the practice of building mosques in all localities and settlements of Muslims was initiated. Praying in a mosque and showing diligence in praying in congregation is a highly rewarding practice, earning the blessings of the Almighty. Though women are exempted from this, men should not deprive themselves of this without any valid reason. Following is the prescribed way of offering the congregational prayer. A. Before this prayer, the azan shall be called out so that people are also able to join the prayer after hearing this call. The words which the Prophet has prescribed for the azan are Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. God is the greatest. I bear witness that there is no God besides Him. I bear witness that Muhammad is God's messenger. Come towards the prayer. Come towards salvation. God is the greatest. There is no God besides Him. B. If there is only one follower, he will stand adjacent to the Imam on his right side, and if there are many followers, they shall stand behind him, and he shall stand in the center ahead of them. C. The Iqama shall be called before the prayer begins. All the words of the azan shall be uttered in it. However, after Hayya al-Falah, the words Qad Qamat al-Salah, which means the prayer is ready to be offered, shall be said by the person who says the Iqama. D. The words of the azan can be repeated more than once for the purpose they are said. E. The words of the Iqama also can similarly be repeated if there is a need. In case a person makes a mistake or thinks that he has made a mistake in the utterances and practices of the prayer, the amendment prescribed as a sunnah is that if amends can be made for the mistake, then they should be made and 2 prostrations should be offered before ending the prayer. And if making amends is not possible, then only the prostrations should be offered. The Friday prayer. On Friday, it has been made incumbent upon Muslims to pray in congregation at the time of the Zuhr prayer and in place of it. Following is the prescribed way for it. A. There are 2 rakat of this prayer. B. In contrast with the Zuhr prayer, the recital shall not be silent in both its rakat. C. The Iqama shall be called before the prayer. D. Before the prayer, the Imam shall deliver 2 sermons to remind and urge people about various teachings of Islam. He shall deliver these sermons while standing. The Imam shall sit for a short while after he ends the first sermon and shall then stand up to deliver the second one. E. The azan for the prayer shall be recited when the Imam reaches the place where he is to deliver the sermon. F. As soon as the azan is said, it is incumbent upon all Muslim men to leave all their involvements and come to the mosque if they have no excuse. G. The sermon shall be delivered and the prayer shall be led by the rulers of the Muslims, and this prayer shall only be offered at places which have been specified by them or where a representative of theirs is present to lead the prayer. The Eid prayer. On the days of Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr, it is essential for the Muslims that they arrange a collective prayer like that of the Friday prayer. It should be offered between the time of sunrise and the sun's descent. Following is the prescribed way in which it should be offered. A. This prayer shall consist of two rakat. B. In both rakat, the recital shall be loud. C. While standing in qiyam, some additional takbirs shall be recited. D. Neither will there be any azan for the prayer, nor akama. E. After the prayer, the imam shall deliver two sermons to remind and urge people regarding the basic message of Islam. Both these sermons shall be delivered with the imam standing. He shall sit for a while in between the two. F. Like the Friday prayer, this prayer too shall be led and its sermon delivered by the rulers of the Muslims and their representatives, and it shall be offered only at those places which have been specified by them, where either they or their representatives are present to lead the prayer. The funeral prayer. In the religion of the prophets, the prayer for a deceased is held obligatory. Once the dead body of the deceased is bathed and enshrouded, this prayer shall be offered in the following manner. People shall stand in rows behind the imam while placing the dead body between themselves and the Qibla. The prayer shall begin by saying the takbir and by raising hands. Like the Eid prayer, some additional takbirs shall be said in this prayer. The prayer shall end after the salam is said while a person is standing once the takbirs and the supplications have been offered. This refers to the minimum obligatory worship related to the prayer. However, the Quran says that he who did some virtuous act out of his own desire, God will accept it. Similarly, it is stated in the Quran that help should be sought from perseverance and from the prayer in times of hardship. Consequently, while complying with these directives, Muslims, besides offering the obligatory prayers, show diligence and vigilance in offering optional prayers. The details of such optional prayers which the Prophet ﷺ offered or urged others to offer can be looked up in various hadith narratives.